I'm excited to be with you this afternoon, and we want to spend some time hearing a little bit about what God is up to in a few different areas in the life of our church family. We have, for January and February, spent pretty much most of our time in the book of 2 Samuel as we studied the life of King David and saw how God was at work in his life and how that through Jesus comes to impact us. There's a danger, though, I think, as people who want to be biblically rooted, that we go, you know what, that's great. There's those stories in the past where God was at work and there were miracles happening and God was answering prayer. It's so good to learn lessons about what he used to do, but we have to like go and do stuff in our own world that is not very connected to that. And I get the privilege of seeing what is happening in a lot of different ministries in the lives of many different people in our church family, but we don't always get to take time to hear some of those stories in this context when we get together on a weekend. And so before we come around the communion table in a few minutes, we thought we would spend some time today hearing some stories in three different ways. First of all, I want you to hear about some of the good things that are happening in some of our homes, as many of you are building friendships with international students. You're going to hear, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should get a picture in a couple minutes. Secondly, seeing as we're here at Bow Valley, it's important for us to notice and celebrate and get updated on what's happening on our Open the Door project, as if you've driven by, you'll see that things are happening on site there. And lastly, I want you here this afternoon to hear the story of how God is at work in the lives of a brand new family in our church family. And in each part of that, you'll hear from more than just me. There's going to be others that I'll be sharing with you in each of those sections. And then we'll wind it all up with some time around the communion table. So to kick it off, how many of you know who Herb and Maureen Blattler are? Okay, right on. They're not here. If you could clap for them, but they won't hear. They are now living the snowbird dream in a Soyuz, BC. So they are doing a Canadian snowbirding right now. But before they went, we visited their home to hear a little something that's happening in their life. And I want you to hear what's up and a friend they've come to meet. So let's see the video. What do you think? Herb and Maureen are just one family, and they're in their 80s, so there's barely anybody here who say, oh, I couldn't do that. If they can do it, you can. There are just one of the families in our church family who are engaging with these students through the Home Away from Home partnership. And Sean Thomason is here. Lee talked about some guy named Sean. This is him. Sean works with Power to Change on the UFC campus, and he's here with his wife, Karen, this afternoon. And Sean is trying to respond, as our own folks with International Student Ministries are, to these students who are coming to Canada in droves. And one of the ways that we can serve them and show the love of Christ to these people as they come is to invite them into their homes. So, Sean, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on and how we can be involved?
Well, that warms my heart. That's the first time I saw that. And Yuan is a sweet guy, let me tell you. I remember the first time I met him, I was up in the office talking with his lab partner, actually. And Yuan had just come. And his lab partner wheels over, grabs Yuan's chair, and wheels him over to the table I'm at and says, Sean's going to show you the way. I said, okay. You know, it's been a tremendous adventure for the last 5 years as I've moved over to focusing on international students. And I must say that there is a sense of fullness that comes from starting to connect with those that God, in fact, is sending to this nation. The God who determines the times and places where we live, he's bringing the nations now. We may as well get used to it because this is Canada. This is the way we're going, and we need to get in there. I was talking to one of my friends named Animesh. Hey, just say that for me, Animesh.
Animesh.
Okay, and his other friend, Abalash.
Abalash.
Hey, good job. Say it fast. Very tough. Where do you think they're from? Guesses. Quick, quick, quick. No, India. Close. And I was showing them pictures of us driving out on the lake by Invermere, and hey, that's an ice fishing shack. And Animesh says, hey, I went ice fishing with my friendship family. I thought, you're kidding. You went ice fishing. Never forget it. Then I find out that their friendship family took them curling to the Siddle family bond spill. Indian guys love competition like that. They really do. And I just thought, that is awesome. They'll never forget that. I ran into an old friend who graduated with a master's degree and then got a job and then went to China to get himself a wife. And he was successful. Brought her back, and very shortly thereafter, she was with child. And I ran into him and started talking to him, and then I just realized that they're really isolated. You know, she's at home all day, he's working all day, she's 5 months pregnant, and they're terrified because they haven't had a child before, and they don't know what to do. And so I invited them to a church potluck we had at our church, and I introduced them to a young couple who had just had their second child. And I sort of worked it, you know, beforehand and said, hey, Rob, you should really befriend this young couple. They're lonely. And they did that. They had the couple over. They started giving them baby clothes. And there is an immediate connection because there's somebody who's going to help us. There's somebody who's going to connect with us. We now have a real Canadian family. I just love it. We can do that. It's so easy. I was talking to another friend of mine, Kada, who's doing a master's degree in engineering from China. And Kada goes over to a nice young couple house with two kids, and he can tell me the names of their kids, playing with them. He could tell me all kinds of things about this family. He's been to church with this family, enjoyed meals with this family. And it's funny, but I said, Kada, how was your time with your family when I had coffee? He goes, oh, it was great, Sean. He pulls out this picture, and in the picture is a large table filled with food. And Kada says, I took a bunch of groceries over with a friend, and we cooked all this food for our Canadian family to help them know what good Chinese food is. I just thought, wow, that is awesome. Well, the guy he took over with him, it just so happens that it's a guy I know. Didn't know these guys knew each other, a guy named Yadong. Yadong is a PhD student, really sweet heart this guy has, just really nice heart. And I find out that as I'm having coffee with Yadong, that there's really only two people he's talking to. He's talking to his roommate, who he knows from China, and he's talking to me. That's it. He's in the lab. He's doing research till about 11 o'clock at night. He's going home. He's eating, going to sleep. He's coming back. He's doing it all over again. And I just thought, wow, it's got to be more than me. It can be you. It can be you. It can be an old couple. It can be a young couple. It can be a couple without children. It can be a couple with young children. It doesn't matter. It can be us. You know, the beauty of it all is that you can do anything with these students you want. Depends on what you like. You can have dessert. You can have tea. You can have a meal. You can go to the coffee shop. You can show them special pictures of places that you've been that you love. Just share your life as a Canadian and as a Christian. And the thing I love about international students is they want to get to know Canadians, and they want to also know, where do Canadians meet? They don't want to know about you individually. They do, but they want to know more. How do you connect in community? So when they're invited to church, they actually want to come and see, what do Canadians do in a community context? I love that. You can invite them to church. You can go out for a hike at Banff and take them along. You can play board games. You can get a geography lesson, and you can give them a geography lesson. You can do whatever fits with your lifestyle. And, you know, this past year, since September, we actually helped 54 graduate students engage with Canadian families. And just think about that for a second. That's actually 27 homes. So let's say you go at the front door and you walk down your street and you start counting homes. You start counting homes. Oh, there's a, yeah, there's, oh, yeah, you start counting homes. You're walking past 27 homes of families that have decided to engage the nations that are now coming. And I just want to say thank you to this church as well. This church has been a strong contributor to the Home Away From Home Friendship Program, with 14 or 15 families being involved in the past. And so it's amazing. We can do something. We can respond. When you get to know a student, you start learning about them, you're actually stepping into a stream of the activity of God. And you will find that you are growing as you are giving. And so we can all get involved. I just want to encourage you, if you feel stuck in your Christian life, if you've got a desire in there, if you think that God is nudging you to take a step in a way that you haven't taken a step before, then I just want to say, respond. Come to the back table. Put your name down for some more information. I'll share the next steps with you. And you will be the richer for it. And most of all, someone else will be the richer for it as well.
Thanks, Sean. As you know, as he just mentioned, you can pop by and see Sean in the foyer and kind of find out about what this program's about. If that's if you're still pretty tired from clapping, you can also just text 403-879-1161 and just put your name and email address, and we will let you know how you can go through the registration process. The great thing about this is this doesn't really start up in earnest until fall, so you can have all of spring and summer to get ready, get registered, and so when these students come in the academic year, we're ready to receive them and welcome them and begin getting to know them. Also, just want to let you know that some folks from ISMC, our own Bruce and Justine Littlejohn and Shirley Stevens. Shirley, would you just stand so people who know who you are? Shirley works as part of International Student Ministries Canada in welcoming students through a host of programs they do. And they would love to tell how you can get involved in some different ways. Particularly, they have weekly meals at a club called Focus, which is a club for international students in Calgary. Many of our small groups or individuals have been making meals at Focus clubs, and you could volunteer as an individual or be a small group that provides a meal for international students. Shirley would love to tell you how you can get involved in there, and also how you can be involved in their fundraising banquet, which is coming up in about a month. And so this is one way that we as a church, I'm amazed that we have so many families involved with this, given that we're not even in Calgary, but it's just something that God has made happen here, and we want to continue seeing that happen in our context. Okay, I'm going to switch gears really fast and talk about our church home, Cochrane Alliance, 902 Glenbow Drive. And so I just want to give you a little bit of a pictorial tour of what's going on, although I feel like we got these pictures ready about Tuesday, Wednesday, and so much has happened even in the 3 days since then that these are a little bit outdated. But our construction manager says that we're about 57% done, the construction work. And here are some of the things from the inside that you can see. So we're going to roll through pretty quick. This is the main floor large group space that comes off the back end of our balcony. Keep her going, Wendy, here. We'll move pretty fast. This is upstairs looking to the northwest. Those walls will be where our staff offices are. And this is from where the picture's taken from the large group space. This next one is looking, I think, on the front end of our building. So this is on the edge of our future library where you'll be able to take books out from. This is looking to the south now into our foyer and to the front of the church building. You can see that they're getting ready and stripping off stuff off of the back of the sanctuary. What else do we got? Again, I think this is the new office area, another set of walls. And so really the work that is happening right now is on framing. And if you want to jump to that last one, Wendy, again, this is like Tuesday, Wednesday when we were taking these pictures. Let's show them the sanctuary first. This is what the foyer looks like. That's going to go right two stories. So you'd be looking right into our foyer. You can see now, and this is in our sanctuary where the duct work is. That's where all our plumbing for the sprinkler system and the new air conditioning is going in. So all that work is, I think it's been really well done. You can barely even tell that it's new construction, but we have all kinds of ducting stuff that goes into the sanctuary to bring us cool or warm air or to put out a fire if any of your children set one in the sanctuary. We are financially, we have already taken in over $1.6 million with, we expect, another $600,000 that it's pledged to come in by the end of the year, which as we also plan to take on a mortgage of $1.5 million, a long-term mortgage. That means that the gap that we need to raise by the year end beyond what is already pledged is about $500,000. And so we are excited. I know that many of you have joined and become part of our church family since November 2014, when we really launched this campaign and where many of you made pledges. If you would like to help us close that gap of $500,000, that's all that remains for us to see this goal be realized. We're carefully managing the budget. I expect in about a month or so we can give you an update of how the construction budget is going, but I know they're working really closely to stick to that budget. I know another big question is, when do we get in there? Right now, I think we're talking July, but I am unable to give you any kind of a promise. We will be in 2017. I'll give you that guarantee. And we're shooting for summer, but there's still so many variables in what needs to take place. And this Sunday actually marks 7 full months that we have been in Bow Valley and out of our building. And I know for some of you, you're wondering, is this going to be worth it? Church life just doesn't feel the same. We can't get together on Sunday mornings when we're used to. Are we going to actually survive this challenge? So I was talking to a good friend of ours, Ron Grape, who is the site pastor at Rock Point Church, and they have many sites, one of them right across from COP, which Ron gives leadership to. A couple years ago, they went through the same process. They were out of their building for 18 months, and which was longer than they were hoping. And so I asked Ron, I said, Ron, could you come and tell us whether we're going to make it, whether we're going to survive, and whether we're going to feel like it's going to be worth it. So could you give a warm welcome to Ron this morning?
Thanks, Jason. Yes, you're going to be fine. I discovered that 19 months or 18 months into a 7-month project, I discovered, yeah, we're going to be all right. We're going to be fine. You know, I was sitting here listening to your announcements, and you mentioned that a member of your congregation, your family, had passed away, and the funeral is here, and I just thought, oh, I remember that feeling, because we had the same experience. I remember that feeling of, oh, I wish we could have this at home, you know, and one of our members had passed away, and they had put so much into the building and so much into who we were, and this stinks, but it is absolutely, absolutely worth it. You know, we had, as I mentioned, it's supposed to be 9 months, turned out to be 18 or 19 months, and there was the flood, and then there was the steel that was wrong that was delivered, then there was the electrical fire. All these, you guys, you're not going to have any of that. It's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. You're not going to have any of that. But I just wanted to lend my voice and say, absolutely, it is worth it. But it's worth it if you keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing, of course, isn't the building. The main thing is the glory of God and the people that he loves so much, the people that have yet to be reached. Before we left our building for our renovation, we left and we had a Saturday night service and a Sunday service, and we canceled Sunday services and asked everybody to come to Saturday night to a different place. We asked them to drive halfway to Cochrane, actually to our Bear's Paw site, and oh my goodness, it was an upheaval. It was a lot of sacrifice for everyone, and I appreciated it greatly. But before we left the building, we gave I brought in dozens and dozens of Sharpies, and I just let people run wild with them. And I said, write on the wall something that God has done in this place. And the kids loved it. And some of those messages were amazing. I can remember one very clearly. Thank you, God, for this place, because it was here that my dad found Jesus. He gave up alcohol. He stopped hitting my mom. And at this point, I'm bawling. And life is so good. And I just thought, and now we're back in and we're starting to build those stories again. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about the glory of God, what he wants to do in the lives of people who desperately need him and people he desperately loves. And so, yeah, it's absolutely worth it. And you know what? There was a cost. There's a cost. I'm going to make a broad statement. There's a cost to any blessing. You think of how God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. I'm going to bless all of the nations to you. But it required Abraham stepping out, making the sacrifice of leaving his homeland, leaving his dad behind, taking his dopey nephew with him, Lot, who caused him nothing but trouble all the way. And he left, and we're blessed because of it. You think of all the blessings God's given to you, it's because Jesus bore the cost. And you are bearing the cost that's going to bring blessings to countless hundreds, and we pray thousands and thousands of people in one of Canada's fastest growing cities. What a tremendous endeavor. What a tremendous thing that you're undertaking for the glory of God and for the sake of people that he loves so much. So absolutely, yes, it is worth it. And absolutely, yes, you will survive. You're going to make it. And yes, there will be nicks and there will be scars. I can show you some. I'll show them to Jason later. I'll show you some of the scars I've got from it. But absolutely, and good for you. And God is grateful that you're paying the cost. And you know what? This isn't all that bad right here. It's not all that bad, but good for you. God has tremendous plans. He always has. And they involve people who are yet to come. And I'm excited to see with you who's going to walk through the door of the new facility. Who's going to be rescued? Whose life is going to be changed forever? And may all of the glory go to God. For he is good. And he is kind. And he is loving. And he has a spectacular mission and plan for Cochrane Alliance Church. So good on you. If you weren't already worn out, I'd say give yourself a round of applause, but we'll save you that.
Thanks, Ron. Really appreciate that. And we're excited. 7 months has passed. 5 months is going to come really, really fast. Okay, how are you doing? You have time for one more story? Okay. Immigration is a hot topic these days. Am I right or am I right? It is neat to see in very white Cochrane people from different places coming to join us in this great town. And although it doesn't appear that our town is yet a hotbed for immigrants, we do have some sprinkling of people from other parts of the world. So we have some Brazilians here this afternoon. Is there any Filipinos out there that want to give a shout out? Oh, that was very tame. Come on. All right. We've got some Africans, some Ugandans, some Zambians sprinkled in to give us a tiny little pepper among all the salt that we have going on here. This fall, I met a new family from Mexico who had recently come to Calgary. And when they came to Calgary, they actually were able to fly over the wall, and they got here, and they were looking for churches online, and can you believe it? This is a tribute to our webmaster, Wendy. They found Cochrane Alliance. Why don't you guys come on up as I'm still talking here? And so they, even though their place and that they're renting is in Calgary, they joined us on a Sunday. It was already getting cold, and they decided to stay. And some of you have got to know the Reyes family. Yeah, you can sit down. Why don't you welcome the Reyeses to our platform this morning? So just to give you a quick snapshot, and we want to tell, there's more story here than we have time for this morning. Actually, Fern, why don't you grab that one right behind you there. So let me introduce to you the Reyeses, and I'm just going to keep my questions close at hand. This is Rob Jr. and his dad, Roberto, Rob's sister, Fern, and Lolis. And Roberto and Lolis just celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary on the 28th. So the Reyeses come from the Chihuahua province, which borders along southern the U.S., so it's in the north of Mexico. If you read the news, you know that along the border there's a lot of turmoil in Mexico, especially what's going on politically, what's going on with the drug trade. And the Reyeses came, this is like summarizing something that's very complicated, but they came to the conclusion that they would like to see if they could get a new start somewhere else. And so through a family friend, Roberto was able to secure work doing dog grooming in Calgary. And so they came under that premise. Rob has already done high school. Fern is finishing off her grade 12 year in the city. Which high school are you again at?
Oh, St. Francis High School.
Okay, so at St. Francis. And it seemed good until Rob lost his job about a month into it. And it was only a lot more part-time than he was originally intending. And just so you know, he's not trained as a dog groomer. He actually has a master's degree in public administration and was working at all levels of government, municipal, state, and federal government, primarily working on budgeting and giving leadership in that part of the world. But came here looking for a new start for his family. Lolis works as a Spanish teacher to kindergartners. And so they made the difficult journey here, but as I've been talking to them over the past few weeks, God has been taking care of them in some really neat ways. And so, Rob, why don't you start us off? I understand that the job that brought your dad to Canada didn't work out. So when he lost that job, what did that mean for your family?
Yeah, so that was basically really hard. First of all, when we got here to the country, right, we didn't know anyone. There's different culture, whatever, you know, different aspects. But we know that God brought us here for a purpose, right? So, you know, we were kind of a little bit concerned about what happened. You know, my dad lost his job. We were like, you know, what to do. But actually, Pastor Mike, which is right there, he referred us to go to CCIS, which is the Calgary Catholic Immigration Society, to know more about, you know, immigration rules, what are our rights and all that. So we actually found a possibility for my dad to work under NAFTA, which is a North American Free Trade Agreement, because we're from Mexico, so that's why I had that agreement with Canada. So we met a guy, his name is Robert. He worked with us all the time. He helped us, you know, filling out applications and giving us advice and all that to make sure we're doing the things right. And so basically, you know, that was a really long, really rough situation when we didn't know what to do. But when things, you know, start going that way, then we knowing that, you know, there's better things coming. That's why we're happy about it.
Okay. Now, Lolis is the one who wants to learn English the most out of this whole family, so please do speak English to her. I told her that we would try to find a Spanish Bible study for her, and she said, no way, I don't want to speak Spanish, get me with the English people. So, Lolis, I know that you were looking for a job as well, so, and you were able to find something. What are you doing for work?
Okay, well, first of all, she's going to say in Spanish, and then I'll translate.
Hello. Okay. Yo pensaba ser asistente de educadora en un kinder, pero el empleador de mi esposo me ofrecieron un mejor trabajo y ya estoy en el hotel donde está mi esposo.
Okay. I wrote it down. So she said, I wanted to work as a preschool educator assistant, but it was not a good option at the moment. However, my husband employer offered me to work at the hotel too, so I'm very happy about that.
Okay. So, Fern, tell us what you and your brother are doing as your mom and dad are trying to find work here.
Okay, well, because I'm still in high school, most of the time I'm at school, so I don't really have enough time to help my parents. But since my brother has more free time than I do, he's always with them. But usually every night we pray as a family, especially my brother and I, to support our parents and to keep moving forward in our spiritual life.
Okay. So, Rob, eventually, after getting advice, your dad found a job, or at least a job opportunity. It wasn't a job yet. So how did that happen?
Actually, my dad will answer. Okay.
My
dad will answer that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Just kidding.
No problem. Thank you, Pastor.
If I call you Rob, I'll get right. Someone right, anyways.
That's okay. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you. Greg and Caroline, some members of the church.
Greg, are you? Greg and Caroline, are you here this morning?
No.
Or this afternoon?
No. Probably we can show the video.
Yeah, we can show them the video.
Okay.
They invited us to have a dinner to their house. That day we met his Mexican friends, Oscar and Teresa. Now it's best friends for us, and they work in hotel in Kenmore, and we were really needed help. They decided to do it 5 days before we leave the country. Prayer is powerful, and it is important to them now how God uses people to solve our problems, even if we just met them.
Okay. So these are some people you met through a connection at the church, and they said, okay, 5 days before you had to get out, you can come and work in the hotel industry. Okay. So, Fern, just because your dad got that job opportunity didn't necessarily mean that he could go and take the job in Canmore. You needed to get permission from the government and go to the border to get all that worked out. And so that's a really big story that we need more time to tell. But can you tell us about what was going on as you go down to the border to try to arrange and get the paperwork you needed so that your parents could get the job they want?
Yeah. Okay, so the first time we had to go to the border to change my mom's permit in order for her to start working. Sadly, it was denied because my dad wasn't working at that time and my mom was a dependent. So the officer told my parents that they had to leave the country right away. We were shocked. We were not expecting that. We were heartbroken. Yeah. But we continued to pray because we knew that God was on our side. After waiting for like 10 hours, we talked to the officer in charge. And we told him our story. And he told us, I really want to help you guys. I really do. So I'm going to give you 3 weeks. So in those 3 weeks, I need you to find a job so you can stay in Canada. And we were really grateful because he didn't have to do that. He did it because we know that God told him to do it. And that was amazing. Even though it was a really hard day, we felt blessed. It was a tough experience, but we were happy, and we were okay with what was going on because we knew that we depended on God, and everything was going to be okay.
Okay. So then you had to go back and go to the border one more time. So what happened when you went back to the border again?
Yes. We went to the border a second time, and the chief of the office was helping us a lot, and we need information about the job under NAFTA. When we were told that we had to leave the country after 8 hours of waiting, Robert for CCIS sent us an email with all the correct information. It is really a great miracle that God made for my family and I. We are very grateful with God and all those we pray for us. God always responds.
So, yes. Rob, I know that during that 8 hours, you said your mom was very expressive in her prayers while you were at the border. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I remember that. I was kind of in shock, too. My mom was on the ground. She was kneeling. She was praying to God. I have never seen her like that. She was really, you know, trying to ask God to, you know, to let her know why this happened to us. Like, I was mad, you know, like I couldn't understand what happened to our family. We were just trying to have a better life and to follow Jesus. But now, you know, I can tell you that I'm a 19-year-old guy that can say God is great and he will show you a better, you know, way to solve your problems, not the way you think, but the way he does.
Thank you. So, Lolas, last question to you. What has this experience done for your faith in God?
Wow. Que tenemos un Dios maravilloso, que Cristo siempre está con nosotros y no cabe duda que cada uno de nosotros tenemos una misión aquí en la tierra. Tiene un propósito para cada uno de nosotros. Por eso es que nosotros estamos aquí.
You're going to get a delayed reaction from me, so.
Okay, she said, I understand.
Quería decir, Cristo vive.
She said, I understand why God brings every human being to earth. He has an important mission for all of us, even though every person lives a different story. This is what makes us unique and children of God. Therefore, I want to help more people and to share his word, because we have to save more lost lives.
Okay.
Que Cristo vive. Cristo vive.
How do you say that?
Christ is alive.
Well, yeah, that's what she's saying. Christ is alive.
You just saw the gift of tongues come to me right there. You're hearing a little bit of a refrain, and this isn't necessarily by design, but again, I think that the nations are coming to us, and I know that we probably don't all have the same political opinions as if we were to talk around that, but the thing is, as Christians first, we have a responsibility always to show kindness and hospitality to the foreigner, the sojourner among us. And when we do, we get to see God be at work. Not because, like Sean said, not because we're so awesome, but because God has compassion, God is powerful, Christ is alive, and we get to be part of these stories. And so let's keep up the good work in our hospitality and friendliness, regardless of where our friends and neighbors are coming from. I'm wondering if you would stand with me, and we'll pray for the Reyeses. Would you guys stand? Father, this is just one story, and we know that across our country there are hundreds and thousands of families that are coming from all kinds of different places, through all kinds of difficulty, looking for a new life, looking for hope. And we as a country certainly have good things to offer them. Thank you for the privilege that we get of winning the lottery by being, many of us here, Canadians. And we pray that we would represent you well by being generous and hospitable to the people who are looking for the hope of a better life, just like our forebears were looking for the same kind of thing when they came. At the same time, as the family of God, we believe that it's not just things like a job or safety or economic security that we can offer, but hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And thank you for how we get to be part of these stories, the one we saw in the video, what you're doing in the Reyes' life. And we ask that you would continue to provide for them. We know the journey isn't easy ahead, but that they would feel a part of this family and they would continue to grow in their faith and knowledge that you've got their back and that you are indeed alive. We ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you give these folks a hand, and you can be seated. Thanks, Rob. You can be seated.